Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today we've got David Jenkins with us. David, what is your background?
Hi, I'm a server technologies marketing manager with Intel's Server Platform Group. And my responsibilities include helping our customers to understand and value the instrumentation and power capping technologies that we are enabling and delivering to the market.
So I've heard a lot about power capping. It's been kind of bantered around the industry as a new trend in terms of energy efficiency. Why don't you just give us the quick definition of power capping and why this is important?
Power capping is important as an extension of instrumentation that's been going on in the industry. So power capping allows a policy or a power cap to be passed down to a server under management and cap that power in real time. And that's important because it solves a number of problems that data center managers are running into in their environments they're operating in. Solutions include things along the lines of increasing their server density and their racks and being able to respond to a power thermal excursions that affect their data centers.
Let's say that I'm managing a data center and I've deployed a number of servers in a rack, but I notice that I can't completely populate the rack because of the limits on the power. How does power capping help me there?
The way that power capping helps there is it provides a more realistic notion of how much power is actually being consumed. When you look at how racks are provisioned in most data centers, you take the total amount of power available to that rack, and most data center operators would divide that by the nameplate power, kind of some guidelines from the manufacturer that's generally very conservative, and that gives you the number of servers that would fit into that rack just by simply dividing. Power capping allows you to first go out and utilize some kind of mechanism, sometimes built into that power technology, to actually measure your server under workload and understand how much it's actually going to draw in real-world time, and then actually set a power cap at or just above that to act as a insurance policy, in effect, to ensure your server doesn't go above that. Then you can take that rack power available to that entire rack, divide it by that lower power cap that's now in place, and you can effectively put more servers in place, increasing your rack density and getting more performance out of that rack footprint.
Now, does this aid in data center efficiency efforts?
Oh, absolutely. Instrumentation and power capping can be utilized to tie into, say, for example, the cooling system, where if you look at most data centers out there, they run at the same level at all times, and the net effect is that they overcool the data center. And instrumentation and power capping allows solutions where you can do things like link your aggregated system power consumption to the cooling system itself, enabling it to scale its cooling output to the specific heat generated by the IT equipment. And the result is that you end up saving power because you're not overcooling, and the efficiency of the data center improves, and often that's a very dramatic increase.
You mentioned briefly another usage model for power capping, which has something to do with critical events in the data center. Can you tell us what that's about?
So there can be any number of things that would create a power thermal event in a data center. For example, you might have a data center that is operating in a very warm climate, and they would utilize essentially free cooling most of the time, and there may be only certain days of the year, or maybe even certain hourly stretches where that free cooling wouldn't be able to cool the normal IT load. And so during those small periods, you'd be able to pass power cap down to those servers, capping the power, slowing them down so that they can operate inside of that limited cooling envelope. And when that constraint is removed later, you can dynamically remove that policy and allow the servers to go. So the net effect is that you can operate in that envelope, you do so in real time, and you do not affect the uptime of your servers.
Obviously, historically, Intel has put in a lot of instrumentation into their microprocessors, but I've heard that there's some new features in terms of instrumentation in the 5500 series. Can you tell me what those are about?
Just to provide a little context to this, historically, there's been instrumentation of individual system components, and that's happened with things such as our processors and with power supplies and a number of other components that allow those specific items to be communicated with and talk about their status or be controlled in some manner. But while that information is somewhat valuable to a data center manager and understanding what's going on in the systems, those component controls, in order to have real impact, need to be aggregated and extended at the server, rack, and even the data center level to improve efficiency in the data center, to give data center managers a real tool to be able to make a difference. So the way that we've enhanced those things is now we've made them more finely grained, so you can have more fine-grained control of how the processor power will vary with the workload that's running on the system.
And how does that impact working at full load and then working at idle?
First of all, with an increase in the number of performance states and a more widely varying array of the power numbers between the top state and the bottom state, we're able to very quickly scale back and forth between those to find the right P state that matches the workload. And obviously then when that processor's not doing any work, we put it into the lowest power state. And if we get a low enough idle state, we can even go into processor sleep state.
You said that policy-based control was new. What did Intel add to the equation that made that possible?
We developed a technology called Intel Intelligent Power Node Manager, and it's a standards-based solution that allows console managers to understand how much power is being consumed by a given server, and allows that console to dynamically set a power cap that limits the power in the server, much as we talked about in the use cases earlier.
Fantastic, David. This was really instructive, and thank you very much for being once again on the program.
Great. Thank you.